Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 37. Isaiah, chapter 37. We'll read verses 28 through 31 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah, chapter 37, verses 28 through 31. Isaiah chapter 37, verses 28 through 31. But I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. He shall eat it this year, such as the growth of itself, and the second year that which springeth up of the same. And in the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward, and bear fruit upward. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here at church. Lord, just to think that the God of the universe is present here. Father, may we be humbled in thy sight enough to where we would listen to the preaching of your word. Holy Spirit of God, work through the lips of our preacher into the hearts of your people. Change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I only but wish I had 2 hours to say to you what I want to say to you today. If you'll listen to me, I will teach you something about the Christian life, and you will use it for the rest of your life. Last Wednesday, I spent a couple of days, Mrs. Owens and I, down at the Winchester Hospital. We had received, with the 2 spurts of snow, somewhere between 44 and 127 inches, just depends on who you're talking to. I was driving to the hospital, and there was one lane. I live on the back side of the mountain, and you think it was thick around here, you should have been out where I live. And there was a little passageway. The snow plows had not been through, just a couple idiots with trucks had tried to drive, and I was one of them. There was only one lane, no way for 2 vehicles to pass through. I was heading one direction, hoping someone was not coming from the other. Sure enough, here came somebody from the other direction. And I thought, you're going to have to move over. And I'm sure they thought, no, you're going to have to move over. This person had never seen me. I had never seen them. I'd never talked to them. They never talked to me. But in our minds, we were talking. They were coming at me. I was coming at them. And the Holy Spirit began to talk to me. And I said, shut up. I'll handle this one on my own. I said to the Holy Spirit, you want me to pull over? Are you going to grab a shovel and dig me out in a minute? But I, inside myself, I played chicken with them for a little while. I was holding steady my course. I don't want to veer to the right or veer to the left. I want to go straight down the line. Then I realized, all right, pull over and let them by. And I did. And being a good Christian, they didn't even wave at me when they went by. They acted like they didn't even see me and drove straight on through. And then what I thought would happen happened. I was stuck. Then I said, okay, Holy Spirit, get the shovel. And as I was sitting there, I did. It's good I know how to rock and roll, because I was forced to. And not the same kind of rock and roll you're thinking of, you sinner. I had to go forward a little bit with my car and then go backward a little bit. You know how you do it. When you're stuck, you try to get out of that thing, and you get out of that rut, out of that little hole. So I put it in drive, and I went forward about that much. Then I put it in reverse, and I went backward about that much. I do not know how many times it took me to go forward, to go backward, to go forward, to go backward, to go forward, to go backward. I could hear or smell something burning. I think it was rubber. I'm not sure. And finally, I put it in reverse this one last time. I went backwards and popped it down into drive, and I gunned it, and we come up out of there and shot out of the hole, and I went on down to the hospital. I was sitting in the waiting room. While in the waiting room at the hospital, I read this passage of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 37. I came to verse number 31, where I'll read it to you again, and the Bible says, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." Notice those words, take root downward and bear fruit upward. You know, the only way that the only way a fruit tree can bear fruit is upward, but it must take root downward to bear fruit upward. That's what the Bible's teaching us here. The downward makes the upward possible. This, in its own way, teaches the balance of the Christian life. Our roots go down as we grow up and bear fruit. If your roots don't go down, you don't grow up to bear fruit. When you get your car stuck in the snow, you put it in reverse and you go backwards, and then you put it in drive to go forwards, and then you go backwards and you go forward. And finally, if you've gone back far enough, you get a momentum to go forward and you bust loose. That's what you do in the Christian life as well. The backward motion is as important as the forward motion. Now back to our text about the roots going downward so the fruit may be bore upward. The growth of the tree that produces fruit needed growth downward and growth upward. See, a tree can't grow just up. Think about it. Trees don't grow just up. A tree can grow up no stronger than it has the growth down. If it becomes top heavy, it will collapse and it won't grow. Let me give you another snow blizzard illustration. I was looking at some trees, and I noticed trees that had a lot of snow at the top of them, especially some pine trees, had fallen over. Heavy snow at the top of the tree caused them to fall over. Why? Their roots were deep enough only to handle the natural growth up, but the extra snow weight at the top was not a part of the root's natural growth, so the tree fell over. Does that make sense to you? You can grow upward no higher than you have grown downward. Growth is in two different directions. And if you get too top heavy, destruction comes. The sermon this morning, I call it proportionate Christian growth. Proportionate Christian growth. And God is the originator of this proportionate growth concept. Nothing grows in just one direction. Your body. While it's growing up, it grows out. It grows forward and it grows backward. You can't eat food and say, "I'm going to tell you where to go. You're going to go grow this part of my body." It just goes everywhere. Most of us, when we get fat everywhere. Nothing grows in just one direction. Everything that is successful and stays successful must grow proportionately. A child's body is a perfect example of what we would call proportionate growth. A child's body, it grows all at once. A baby is born. No one part grows all by itself. You see, it would be abnormal if a child's body didn't grow, but his legs became the legs of an adult man. What would happen if a three-year-old had the torso of a three-year-old, but had the legs of a grown adult man? Here you would have a child who was from waist up a foot tall, and from leg down 3 to 4 foot tall. That would be abnormal. Why? Well, all the parts of growth in a child's body grow proportionately. Somehow we get the idea growth is straight up. I'm sorry, growth is up and down. Growth is one direction while growing in another direction. This is the way the Christian life is. This is the way Christians are to grow in the Lord. You're to grow proportionately in all areas of the Christian life at the same time. If a Christian decides to grow in only one area, they will become top heavy like the snow on the tops of those trees and you will fall over. We need to grow in all areas of the Christian life at the same time. You need to grow in the area of Bible reading while you're growing in the area of prayer, while you're growing in the area of soul winning, while you're growing in the area of giving, while you're growing in the area of separation. We're to grow in all those areas or you'll end up being a Christian freak. Doing nothing but soul winning will make you spiritually deformed and you will fall over and crash due to unproportionate growth. Yes, oh yes, you're to go soul winning, but that is one of many things you ought to do as a Christian. Growth upward requires growth downward. Let me prove it to you. Any fisherman here? Okay. Any fisherman knows to cast forward, you must draw backward.
Right.
If you want to cast forward, you must draw backward. What is that? Growth forward requires growth backward. You ever play with a slingshot? With a slingshot, you must draw backward to thrust the BB or whatever you're shooting forward. What is that? Growth forward requires growth backward. A playground swing. It must be pulled backward to enjoy the ride forward. No pull backward, not much ride forward. Growth forward requires growth backward. Leverage requires backward motion to achieve the forward motion. Something's got to go back to go forward. When you jack up your car, you push down for it to go up. And you push down for it to go up. And you push down for it to go up. A skyscraper can be built upward no stronger than its foundation has been built downward. I look over here at Jamie Roseman. He knows something about construction. He would tell you. You go to building something that hasn't got a proper foundation. And you go up too high, it's going to fall over. Right, Jamie? That's it. And some of you, if you're not careful, you're going to try to grow in some areas upward when you have not grown downward and you're going to topple and you'll be history.
Right.
Let me show you again. I call the sermon proportionate Christian growth. Please listen to me. First of all, God's word clearly teaches proportionate Christian growth. It's a scriptural, a biblical concept. All of life is full of proportionate growth. Life occurs with growth happening in opposite directions, not in just one direction. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 2 says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Do you notice there something? It says a time to be born and a time to die. What's happening in life? God says there's proportionate occurrences. While people are dying, people are being born. That's how we keep the old earth going. There's movement in both directions. It also said there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now look, if all we did was plant and plant and plant and plant and plant, we would never eat. If you plant, you must pluck up that which is planted. But it's both. You're doing both. There's proportionate movement for success. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 3, the Bible says there's a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. What do you have there? A time to kill and a time to heal. There's proportionate movement. Then there's a time to break down and a time to build up. There it is again. God said there is the drawback for the movement forward. There is the move down for the move up. There it is. There is life and then there is death. And God said all of life is in proportion. You don't go just one direction. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, a time to weep and a time to laugh. a time to mourn and a time to dance. Here God is saying there are going to be times in your life when you weep. Hey, but you don't weep all the time. There will be an opposite of a time to laugh. Hey, and you can't laugh all the time. There will be an opposite, a time to weep. It is proportionate, a growth up while there is a growth down. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. The time to dance is not when somebody else is mourning, and the time to mourn is not when somebody else is dancing. There's a time up and a time down, a time right and a time left. There's a north and a south, an east and a west, an up and a down. There, hey, and we have to understand life is set up with proportionate growth. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 5 says, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. What's God saying? There's a time to cast stones, but wait, there's a time to gather stones. Then there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Again, do you see the proportionate concept, the proportionate practice of God? That's how He set things up. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 says, there's a time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. Listen, if all you did was get and get and get and get and get and get and get, you would be on the news as a hoarder. And people would say, you're weird. Because there is a time to get and a time to give and a time to get and a time to give. There's a time to go up and a time to go down. There's a time to go right and a time to go left. That's how life is set up by God. The Bible says there's a time to keep and a time to cast away. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 7 says a time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. You understand? Silence, speak. Rend and sow. What is it? Proportionate life. Ecclesiastes 3:8 says, a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. You won't be at peace all the time in this world. There will be war. You won't be at war all this time in this world. There's a time of peace. Hey, it's not going to be love, 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 love all the time. The Bible says these six things doth the Lord hate. God is a God of love, but God is a God of hate. And He has a proportionate amount of both. That's the way life's set up. Life is full of winding up so you can go forward. Anybody here like to play baseball? The game of baseball is full of proportionate growth. Yes, sir. To throw the ball, you must wind up to throw it forward. To swing the bat, you must go backward to go forward. For your legs to run, one must be going backward while the other one is going forward.
Right.
Life does not just go forward. God set up life growth very proportionately. For a bird to fly, his wings go down so they may go up so they can ride the wind. That's the way God set it up. So as you can see, God's word clearly teaches, nature clearly shows us proportionate Christian growth. Number two, a church's growth is to be proportionate growth. A church's growth is to be proportionate growth. Let me say something to some of you. You'll get more college education right in the auditorium of this church than what you'll get in most Bible colleges in America. If you'll listen to what I'm telling you right now, I'll teach you basic truths and concepts that'll just revolutionize your thinking. But businesses, bus routes, listen to what I'm telling you. Sunday school teachers, listen to what I'm telling you. A church's growth is to be proportionate growth. All areas of growth affect the other areas of growth. We need preaching and we need teaching. You do both. A church has to have some preaching. A church has to have some teaching. What is that? That is proportionate growth. That is the proportionate scriptural biblical concept of growth. God set everything up that way. And I can't tell you how many people miss what I'm teaching. Matter of fact, they think, well, you aren't preaching hard all the time. There's something wrong with you. No, there's something wrong with you. We need some very serious quiet times in our church. We also need some rousing revival times, shouting amen, glory to God, hallelujah. What is that? You do both. It's proportionate growth. We need our Sunday morning crowd to grow, but wait a minute, we need our Sunday evening and Wednesday evening crowd to grow too. There are some that do not exercise proportionate growth in their churches. You can go to their church on Sunday morning and you got 400 people. You go back on Wednesday night and there are 40. That is not proportionate Christian growth. We need to grow in our local soul winning efforts. But wait a minute. We also need to grow in our missions outreach around the world. What is that? Proportionate growth. There are some churches, they do nothing but concentrate locally on soul winning. They don't concentrate on reaching people around the world. That's wrong. There are others that do nothing but concentrate on reaching people around the world, and the local people do no soul winning at all. That is not proportionate growth. If we want our church to grow properly, it must grow proportionately. We need to sing the song here in our church, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." Slowly, thoughtfully. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. Slow, gentle. But wait a minute. We also need to sing, I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. What is that? That's a bombastic, aggressive, I'm climbing, I'm going somewhere. You need both. Yes. It's called proportionate growth in a church. Hey, we need powerful services where God gets a hold of us. And other times, we need comforting funerals. Proportionate. Proportionate, proportionate. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, it says this. Listen to these words. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Notice the balance there. Quietness and strength. What is that? God said, I'm going to give to you the privilege of proportionate strength, proportionate elements to help you. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait, that's one thing, upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Notice the proportion. God said, you're going to wait, that's being calm and moving slowly, and then you're going to renew strength. You draw back to thrust forward. You grow down in order to grow up. Our church needs enthusiasm, and our church also needs calm Bible study. Proportionate growth. We said, hey, listen, we should reach the poor people and the bus kids. Amen. We ought to reach them. But wait a minute. If we ever get to reaching the poor kids and the bus kids, and we start ignoring the middle class and the upper class, and we start ignoring the business people, we're out of proportion. We're out of proportion. You see, we're to reach both. There are some of you who are business people. There are some of you who are successful people. You ought to be helping us to achieve that balance in our church. Good. We should improve our buildings and our grounds. We ought to do everything we can to make them look nice and clean and sharp and all of that. But we must also realize, on the other hand, if they're going to be used, they're going to be damaged. You know, some people have flawless buildings and they don't have any bus kids. Some have ratty buildings and have nothing but bus kids. We want proportionate growth. We'll do all we can to reach the poor. And while they're here and they're a little bit hard on our building and grounds, we will do all we can to keep them nice and neat. And we will fix and refix and fix and refix and paint and repaint and correct and recorrect. But we're not going to do one or the other. We've got to do both. It is called proportionate growth for a church. Listen, folks, a swimmer's arms must go backwards to then thrust forward to move the water in an effort to swim. Churches that do not have proportionate growth become top heavy, like a tree with snow at the top, and eventually they crash or die. Proportionate growth is solid and strong growth. Look, if I want to run 2,000 people at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, I could run it next week. All I have to do is put a whole bunch more buses on the road, go out and pick a whole bunch more poor people. But you know what we better be careful of? We better be careful that we have enough people that can teach Sunday school, that can captain buses, that can man nurseries. We practice proportionate growth. We're not just trying to impress somebody with our growth. Anybody that's watched it, you watch, I'm constantly saying, uh-oh, we better get over here and grow strong here. What? We better grow over here. We better grow over here. We're busy growing in nursery workers and Sunday school teachers while we're growing bus routes to reach the poor. We're looking for people to help in the choir. At the same time, we're looking to go down at the mission and try to reach the mission men. What's it called? It's called proportionate church growth. I say to you, number one, the Bible clearly teaches proportionate growth. Nature, God, the Creator, He made life that way. You see it all the way through the book of Ecclesiastes and other things. Number two, I said a church's growth is to be proportionate growth. Number three, our walk with God should be proportionate. Our walk with God, we should grow proportionately as Christians. And here's what I mean. There are several areas of our walk with God. We'll call it walk with God, your private time with God. You can call it your devotions. You can call it your fellowship with God. Call it what you will. But you're to be growing and you're to be participating in a relationship with God, but in a proportionate manner. One area of our walk with God is prayer. Now, you need to understand something. Prayer is asking God for something. That's what prayer is. If I stood here today and I said, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, and you say to me, wow, that was some prayer. I didn't pray. I praise God. Prayer is asking for something. And so I am to grow in my walk with God, in my personal relationship with God. Prayer is part of it, but you got to remember, prayer is asking God for something. There's another area of relationship with God. It's called thanksgiving. Yes. Now, we've got to figure out what is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is giving God thanks for what He has done for us. Yes. Now, those two are different, and we need proportionate growth. You're making a mistake if all you ever do is ask God and 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 ask God. You say, I'm a great Christian. No, you just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. But wait a minute, there's more to the Christian life than asking for things. You better take the time to thank Him for the answer that He gave. So if you're going to ask God, then thank God. If you're going to ask God, then thank God. And ask God, then thank God. Then ask God and thank God. And ask God, then thank God. You wind up, then let her fly. And you wind up, and then let her fly. If you don't do that, you will topple as a Christian. You will fall over. Now, not only is there prayer and thanksgiving. Daniel speaks of praying and making confession. You see, confession is admitting our sin. Now, that's different than praying. Praying is asking God. Confession is going and admitting to our sin. You are to be practicing proportionate growth in your life. I am to be asking God for things, then thanking God for what He's given me, and then I'm to be confessing my sin. Now, let me tell you something. If you're not taking the time to confess your sin, and you're asking God for stuff, you're not going to get what you ask for, because your iniquity may separate you from your God. So you say, what am I supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to ask for something, then thank Him for something, and make sure you keep your sin confessed. And if you do just one of those, you're out of proportion, and you're a spiritual weirdo.
Right.
Wait a minute, there's another area of life. Praising God. That's praising Him for what He is. That's different than what He's done. So, what am I supposed to do? Hey, if you want to get something for God, hey, if you're going to ask God to give you something, it might be a good idea if you brag on what He is before you ask Him to give it to you. If you went to God and said, oh, you're the great God, you're perfect, you're holy, you're kind, you're gentle, and by the way, I want to ask you for something, and after you ask Him for something, it might be good that you thank Him for giving it to you. And you better keep your sin confessed along the way, and if you're not doing all of them, you're out of proportion, and that might be why some of you are not growing like you need to grow. It would be unproportionate growth. You cannot choose to grow in one of these areas and ignore the others. It's unproportionate growth. That would be unproportionate. It's like having a baby with a baby's body, but with a man's legs or arms. All areas are connected to one another in your Christian growth. Some do nothing but praise and shout. There are people that if they think we're going to have some wild service and I'm really going to get with it and they can just get all pumped up, they'll come to church, but they won't come any other time. You're a spiritual oddball. The only time you like it is when somebody's yelling and screaming. You're a spiritual weirdo. You need to like it when it's quiet, when it's loud, when it's hot, when it's cold, when it's up, when it's down, when there are tears and when there's terror. God is a God of balance. Some people do nothing but praise and shout, but they never confess. They never pray. They never give thanks. You won't last. You're spiritually deformed. You're going to topple over. You can't grow. That's just like all of your body is dwarfed and your right arm is 15 foot long. We need to grow in all areas of our walk with God. Let me read a verse or two to you. Psalm chapter 126, verse 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Notice the growth in opposites. Tears, joy. Joy, tears. Can I tell you who laughs the hardest and the most? The ones that cry the most. If all you do is laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh, too much of a good thing, don't cut it. Are you listening to me? I shed tears. I cry every day of my life. But you know this, I'm a happy man. I spend my life making people happy. I spend my life weeping with people. And I'm willing to have both extremes. It's delightful. I can laugh at the purest little funny thing. You can. It's got to be late night television filth humor to get you to laugh. You're so burnt out on trying to entertain yourself with humor. You say, "Well, I need to be cheered up. Maybe you need to cry." No confession, by the way, results with no production in your prayer life. Listen, to flip a rubber band, you must pull it backward to flip it forward. To start your chainsaw, the pull cord must retract into the machine for it to be pulled out of the machine to make the engine fire. It's the reason why some of you aren't cutting it in the Christian life. You're looking at some of the things that I teach you. So, "Well, I'm not going to do that." Then you will stymie your growth. I don't come to this pulpit and preach one thing over and over and over and over again. I come to you and I feed you a little of this. Then I bring you another part of the meal and I feed you a little of this and a little of this and a little of this and a little of this. And you get a balanced diet. And some of you, every time we come to a particular item, you say, "I'm not doing it." And you're turning out to be weird. You're out of balance. You won't last. You take it all and you take it in. So I like that one part. There's not a parent here that will let their children eat 8 pieces of pie for lunch. Every one of you believe in proportionate meals. Well, we believe that here at church too. Are y'all listening to me? Stay with me now. When I see you nodding off, I think you're bored. I just shut her down. Let's all go home. I want a nap too. But if you'll listen to me, this will change your life. You need this. We need this. Our church needs this. People coming to me constantly say, "Why don't you do more of this or more of that?" I'm doing the dead level best to keep this thing balanced out. I want to keep it what it's supposed to be. Yeah, I'm for the bus ministry, but I'm also for us going out here and winning some people in these $300,000 homes and getting them saved so they can go to heaven too. You can't. You say, "But it's easy." You're not supposed to spend your life doing the easy. There are times when it'll be easy and times when it'll be hard. There'll be times when you'll push and push and push. There'll be other times when somebody else will push for you. But you got to do it all. Marriage is to have proportionate growth. I like this. A young lady came home very sad from a date. She told her mother, "Anthony proposed to me just an hour ago." Her mother said then, "Why are you so sad?" Her mother then said, "Well, I'm excited. I'm soon to be a mother-in-law." The young lady said, "I'm sad, mother, because he told me that he was an atheist. He doesn't even believe that there's a hell." Her mother replied, "Marry him anyway, honey. I can convince him." Yeah. Let me help your marriage today. It's Valentine's Day. Let me help you. Listen to me. Every married couple, shut up and listen to what I'm saying. Especially some of you younger married couples. Some of the older married couples, you've been through enough life, it's knocked the snot out of you. You've started to learn some of this. But you listen to me. Marriages grow proportionately. Marriages need romance. Intimacy. But they also need responsibility. Young couples get married and think, romance, 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 romance. It won't be long. Responsibility will kick in or she will kick you out. Too much intimacy, too much responsibility is abnormal growth. And you'll have a weird marriage. Some of you are there right now. Marriages need time together. Marriages need time apart. Too much of either one will stifle your growth. If you don't believe me, when you spend your 3 weeks of vacation together and you're together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 3 weeks, you're saying, I want to grow the other way. Proportionate growth. Marriages need times of fun and marriages need time of work. Too much of either one is abnormal growth. Marriages need to laugh together and marriages need to cry together. Why? If not, there'll be abnormal growth. Marriages are supposed to grow proportionately. Look, folks, anybody here that's ever shot a gun, you must pull back the hammer, release it so it can thrust forward the shell. You have to have both. You say, why are you bringing up gun and marriage? I don't know. In marriage, there needs to be a time of transparency. But I'll tell you something. Our marriages have lost mystique. Look, there needs to be a time. I'll say this the best way I know how. There needs to be a time when the two of you are together, nothing stopping you. I also believe that people shouldn't run around their house totally unclothed all the time because you lose a mystique that creates an attraction. Are you listening? Everybody knows that. Too much of what is a good thing turns it into a bad thing, and it must have the balance. For a woman to hit a man with a frying pan, she must draw back to thrust forward. I'm going to teach the Bible whether you like it or not. Listen to this. Preaching that grows people is proportionate preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2 says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Notice the balance or the proportionate expectation by God upon preachers. He uses the word reprove, rebuke. He also uses the word longsuffering. Many preachers are one-dimensional. Always fast, always hard, always in your face, even when preaching on compassion. You better love somebody! No tears, no tenderness. Even when preaching on compassion, they can't calm down. They produce an unbalanced product. They create troublemakers. They do. I try not to create troublemakers here. I'll get you wound tight, then I'll calm you down. I'll say, let's challenge the world. And then I'll say, love your enemy. I'm stretching your parameters. I take you running as fast as I can north. Then I may turn around the next service and take you south. I never cut you loose in one direction because you become a pervert that way. Preachers need to grow in their preaching. Preaching at a funeral is different than preaching at a camp meeting. It's called proportionate preaching. Preaching at a high school graduation is different than preaching at a revival service. It's called proportionate preaching. Preaching at a graveside service is different than preaching at a jail service. Proportionate preaching. All preachers need to downward grow to achieve upward growth. a good Bible conference has a balanced preaching. Anybody that's around me knows when we set up our conferences, constantly working, getting everybody involved to understand. You got to go down to go up. You've got to have two extremes. Look, if it's 20 below zero and it warms up to 10 above, you say, heat wave! Why? Because how down you went when you started creeping up, it was exciting. When two preachers preach in one night, it's best if they go two different directions. It's called proportionate preaching. I spent the last 20 years of my life trying to teach it. Yes, sir. Not everybody catches it. Hey, listen to this. Earlier, I talked about those that are just 100 miles an hour all the time. Preachers who are soft and quiet all the time are not properly growing their people.
That's good.
Sometimes we need to sit still and buckle in for some wild preaching. Other times we need some instructional Bible study and you might sit there and just weep.
Good.
Preachers are to preach, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. All of those are different. All of one is improportionate. It turns churches and the people in the churches into radical, lopsided people.
Yes, right.
The growth of a preacher himself requires the taking root downward for the bearing of fruit upward. The growth of people requires the same thing. Let's face it. I must breathe in to breathe out. Some of you blondes need to write that down. You're going to need that. We breathe in to breathe out. That brings life. You breathe in to breathe out. Let me tell you something. Some of you that are, you think you're just Bible theologians, and all you do is sit around and all you do is read your Bible and read your Bible and read your Bible and read your Bible and read your Bible. And you never give any of it to anybody. You never go soul winning. You never give a testimony. You never teach a Sunday school class. You're an oddball. Because you are to take in to give out and take in to give out and to take in to give out. You say, preacher, where in the world do you get all that truth? Every time God gives me a great big old juicy truth, I breathe out. I give it to somebody and I go back and say, God, I'm ready to breathe in. I breathe in the scripture. I breathe out the scripture. I breathe in the scripture. I breathe out the scripture. I breathe in the truth. I breathe out the truth. I breathe in the principle. I breathe out the principle. I take it in and give it out and take it in and give it out. Take it in and give it out. You want to get rich? Take it in. Give it out. Take it in. Give it out. You want to have balance in your marriage? Have fun. Get down to work. Have fun. Get down to work. You want to rear good kids? You better make sure there are times of discipline, but you better make sure there are times of fun.
Amen.
We try to achieve that in our school.
Yes, sir.
I don't think education ought to be hated. You turn education into some people that really think they're smart. You'd have every kid there just hating school 24/7. I don't believe in that.
Right.
Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Proportionate Christian growth. I travel to churches and pastors say, preacher, can you help me with something? One of the things I study is the balance of their ministry. And let me tell you this also. If I feel like there's something I need to tell them that's negative, I match it with an equal positive. Why? It's how you build men's egos. These men on staff don't know it. But if I ever need to kick their can, they also will find out. It won't be long. I'll stand up and brag on them publicly. I will put as much energy into building as I had to tear down. In an effort for what? Growth. Your roots must go downward if you're going to bear fruit upward. It's a concept that's clearly in the Bible. God teaches this concept. I said, secondly, a church's growth is to be proportionate growth. I said, number three, our walk with God is to be proportionate. I said, number four, marriages grow grown properly, it's proportionate growth. Number five, preaching that grows people is proportionate preaching. I said, your children, you need to work at proportionate growth.
Yes.
Some of you, if you're not careful, You say, well, I'll teach them character. I'll train them. You'll drive them in the ground. There needs to be time when there's character training. There needs to be time when they see mom and dad have fun and enjoy life. That's why God says the laborer is worthy of his hire. It means you work hard, you get paid. You work hard, you get paid. If all that ever happened is work hard with no pay, you'd quit. And if all you ever did was receive, receive, receive without working, you'll flop too. Let's take salvation for a second. You better admit you're a sinner. Humble down. You're dirty. Low down. Good for nothing. Lost. On your way to hell. You say, I don't like that. If you trust me here for a minute, I can take you from there to something else.
Amen.
You say, I'm not admitting it. All right, you're going to flop and go to hell. If you won't admit to being a sinner, if you won't admit to being a bad person, if you won't admit that you don't stack up, then you'll die and go to hell.
Right.
Say, well, what do I have to do? You got to go down on your knees and humble yourself and admit you're a sinner so he can get you up off your knees and give you new life in Christ Jesus. You're on your way to hell, and if you don't want to go, we can get you on your way to heaven. But you got to go down and humble yourself and say, I am a sinner. I can't save myself. I'm dirty. I'm rotten. I'm no good. God said, I can save you. I'll pick you up. I'll put you on a solid rock and I'll rebuild your life. But you have to go down to get up. People that need to get right with God. One reason some people don't get right with God because they don't like the part of coming down and rededicating their life. So you stay a mess. Sometimes you need to be humbled. You need to say, I'm bad. I did wrong. I did it. And wow, what God can do to lift you up and put you back where you need to be. I loved it. Recently, I was speaking with a man who had gotten away from the Lord. I'll never tell you who it is in a million years. And the purpose is not that you figure it out. Left our church. Knew that he had not done the right thing. Came back to me and said, preacher, I want to come home. I said, I'd be glad for you to come home. But you got to understand something. We've not changed. We've not changed. We're the same church we were when you left. He said, no. He said, I'm not asking you to. He said, I'm the one that needed to change. He can go up. He can go up. You can't go up until you've been down. You say, I love the story of the resurrection. Brother Bob, isn't that a great story? Jesus, he raised from the dead. But folks, you can't raise from the dead till you've been dead. He had to go by way of crucifixion to get to resurrection. Yeah, I can't wait for the rapture. Well, you got to live down here with the rest of us before you're going to go up there when he comes. Proportionate Christian growth. I don't want you to ever forget it. I don't preach to entertain. Are you unsaved today? May I recommend to you a Savior? A Savior. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. I hope you get saved. So what do I have to do? And you're going to have to admit you're a sinner. You're going to have to admit you can't do it yourself. If you admit you can't do it yourself, God will save you. But until you're willing to go down, you can't go up. That's what the Bible teaches. As on that road, one vehicle had been through there, and I was hoping that somebody else was not coming from the other direction because there was only room for one of us. Here they came from the other direction. I didn't want to pull over, but I did. Now, I know why. God was placing in my heart a truth. He knew I'd flip open the Bible just in an hour at the waiting room and I'd find this passage of Scripture. He knew. He knew. And as I was stuck, I went back and forth in my car. It took the back to get forward. To every Christian here today, under the sound of my voice, take the truth deep within you. Don't reject it. Look at it. Don't make it so you can't even remember what was preached 30 minutes from now. Let it balance your life. Let it balance your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First question I want to ask this morning is to the lost. If you died today, are you 100% sure you would go to heaven? And if you say, I'm not sure of that, brother Owens, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I need to be saved and I want to be saved. And I'm willing to humble myself. I'm willing to admit I am a sinner. I need to be saved and I want to be saved. And God has spoken to my heart today. Who in this auditorium would raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved, but I want to be. I'm willing to humble myself. I see a hand. I see another hand. Who else? You say, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. Who else? Lower floor, upper floor. You say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I see it. I need to humble myself. I need to tell God. I see that hand. I need to tell God I'm a sinner. Then I'll ask Him to save me. I'll let Him do all the saving. I realize I can't do it. I will totally retract my ability from this thing. If you'll do that, He'll save you. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. I need to be saved, but I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand? If you're not saved, in a moment, this is what I want you to do. Those of you that raised your hand, and some that didn't, that needed to, in a minute, instrumentalists are going to begin to play. The choir is going to begin to sing. The men that are sitting on this platform will step down off the platform and post themselves on the lower level. If you're not saved, you leave your seat from wherever you are. We'll be standing at that point. But you walk toward the front, walk up to one of the men. And men, I need you in your places quickly. In a minute, we stand. You just come forward. Walk up to one of the men that are posted down front. Say, I want to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You came into this place. You'll go out of this place on your way to heaven. You came in lost, out saved. Then let me ask this. Somebody's marriage. You know what's happened to some of you married couples? It was play, 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 fun, 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 fun. Wow, isn't this great? We're married. And you were missing church and getting away from God and everything else because it was play, 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 fun, 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 fun. New married couple. And all of a sudden responsibility kicked in. You said, well, I wasn't expecting this. Some, it was romance, 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 and that's what you built your whole relationship on. It's time to grow up and realize, along with romance is responsibility, and you have to have both. There are married couples that need to use this altar this morning. You need to balance your relationship. Look, you can't spin. You got to take in. You take in and spin and take in and spin. It's a concept of life. You must accept it. What married couple, what husband, what wife would say, I need this. I need to push the reset button and get the balance back in our marriage. And you raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. I see hands everywhere. I hope you'll use this altar. Somebody needs to. Somebody needs to. You say, well, hard work never hurt anybody. All work and no play destroys your marriage. There are folks in the rearing of their children. There are folks in their concept of this church. Why don't we just do all this? We can't do all that. There's got to be a balance. Somebody here today need to understand the balance of the two. There are Christians in this building. You say, I just want to praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I want praise services all the time. We praise God around here, but you'll notice there is a balance of it. You may need this altar. You may need to come and say, God, I've got to get the balance back in my life. Got to get it back in my family. I got it back in my marriage. Those of you that have the privilege of preaching around here, we've got those that preach in children's churches and they preach it on bus routes and things. Get the balance in your bus route. Get the balance in your Sunday school class. Get the balance in what you do. Get some balance in the way you treat people. I'm just hard on people all the time. Well, you need to change then. Become like God. He is a God of perfect balance. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's see.